Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. In just a few moments, we will head to Arizona for a conversation with the number two overall pick in the 2018 Major League Baseball Draft, San Francisco Giants catcher Joey Bosa at 9:10.
It's Joe Knowing Dibs coming in slamming doors too.
Also, Joey Bart. I've said Joey Bosa three or four times today. I apologize. Joey Bart coming on the program. That does not excuse yet another instance of tardiness, which, by the way, when Kolsky was in, he assumed he would not be penalized, so routinely was showing up late.
Oh.
And then was routinely being drilled by the back room.
Nice. Back room had my back on the flags. I appreciate that when I'm not here.
How am I late right now? He was sitting there going over what we have scheduled.
First of all, you're out of breath, which indicates you were rushing. Secondly, you slammed the door, making an audible noise.
Why are you laughing, Joe? You was eating potato chips. I didn't say nothing.
That's true. There's no flag for potato chips.
You were just grubbing. Mouth was full of butter and just...
And this is what makes it so difficult. I'd love to give you the opportunity to win, but all your facts are incorrect.
Oh, my God! Dibs, did he not?
I didn't know what he was eating.
That's the problem. So now that we know it wasn't potato chips, what else is wrong with your story?
I was trying to be funny. I knew it wasn't potato chips.
It fell on deaf ears, and you'll notice no one laughed. Take your penalty. Stop arguing, or we're going to tech you up. You're the Draymond Green of this program, minus the assist.
Wait, run me. You were still, if you listened to the update, you were in the update. You weren't even about me being in the chair, and you guys wanted to flag me for
nothing. There wasn't even an update is the problem, son.
Maybe Philip Rivers was going to throw a pass, but you still need to be on the field in order to take part in the huddle and then block.
Sure.
All right? We all know the ball isn't going to you, but you still had to be on the field, didn't you?
I got no comment for that.
And yeah,
that
I did shove a bunch of cookies in my mouth about 12 seconds before we came back earlier.
But you worked through it, though. Me and Dib looked at it.
The worst part is you don't even get to enjoy them then.
No.
It's like, why did I get the cookies if I'm just going to force them down and then, oh, so, welcome back.
Right.
Steph Curry yesterday took a lot of shots.
Play the audio while I swallow.
Give me a really long audio. Right. Give me the fourth quarter.
Totally.
The whole fourth quarter.
All right, Joey Bart coming up in about 4 minutes. Sam Amick at 9:35 to talk all things NBA. Let me throw this out there for you first. Vegas yesterday, the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook released a plethora of betting opportunities for the 2019 MLB season. Team bets, futures, all that good stuff. But they have some individual player props up there as well. Two relating to the Giants I want to talk about before Joey Bart comes on in about 4 minutes. Number one. Over under 9.5 total home runs for Buster Posey. If you've got $100,000 and you have to bet it, Dibs, over under 9.5 home runs for Buster Posey this season.
I'm betting it over, and it's not a comfortable bet, but I'm going to put my 100 gur on the over, and I'm going to hope that Major League Baseball continues to do what they've done with the baseball, which is not necessarily fully juice it, but it's a lively ball. And I think with all the home runs being hit, last year, the Yankees set the record for most home runs in a season by a team.
You called it.
Yeah, and you're going to continue to see more home runs this year. And so I think by just general osmosis, if Buster stays healthy, he should be able to pick up a couple, two or three from that over-under. I got him at 13 for the year, Joe, so I'm going to hope for the best, and I'm going to take the over 9.5 homers.
He only hit 5 last year, though.
I know.
It was in 105 games. He would need to double that with just 56 games added, and we know he's not going to play 57 games added. We know he's not going to play all 162, plus another year of age, plus coming off the hip surgery. But it's not one you love. It's one you lean.
Right.
The Dibley projection has it at, forget about
13.
Steamer and Procota.
Right.
Dibley has it at 13.
Yes, and I think that if you look at the fact that last year he was playing hurt for the majority of the year, he couldn't fire his hip through the hitting zone. That's going to hurt him. Lowe made a great point earlier. I don't want to steal his thunder, but he is likely to come out a little bit sluggish. He may not even be an everyday catcher in the early part of the year because of the surgery. That hurts him as well, but I'm still going to stay on the over.
Now that Dibs has effectively stolen your thunder, is there anything left but the scraps?
You know what? You know what is it, Joe, when you say, when people say,
with all due respect.
With all due respect. He just all due respect to me right there.
I don't want to steal his thunder, right, but I'm going to take his take, give it to you, and then wait to see what he comes up with next.
I'm going to word it just a little bit different. He may not be able to start, you know, of course. You look at him, you say, okay, how is this guy? What has he brought to the table? He's a Hall of Famer. We know that. We look at Buster and say, what does Buster bring to the table? I think he brings smarts. He's astute. We understand he's a skipper out there on the field. So we understand those qualities. But Buster's going to, when he gets out there, you don't know if he's going to be there for opening day. He could have a slow start. And not just that, I don't see Buster trying to turn on these balls and trying to hit for power, for home runs. I don't see Buster doing it. And I don't think the team wants him to do that. He's a guy that's going to help put butts in his seat. He's a guy that you want him to see him just to get on base, whether someone comes on and pinch runs for him or do all those things. But he's a guy that you necessarily don't want to go be joining out there trying to take those big cuts. So I would say it would be under. I think that you're going to see this guy miss quite a few games this year. I think he wants to stay healthy. So I don't see Buster hitting more than 9.5. No.
Madison Bumgarner, over under 10.5 wins. I reached out to the guys at the Westgate specifically to clarify if he's traded to the American League, does his win count start over? Because you'll know if you've hit 30 home runs and then you get moved, the clock restarts. Now, granted, towards your overall stats, it counts. But when you appear at the dish for, say, the Mets, after being traded from the Tigers, you hit your first home run, that's going to be scored as one home run. They said they would combine the amount of wins. So if Bumgarner can win 5 between now and July with the Giants, and then say he's moved to the Yankees, goes on to win 6 with the Yanks, that's 11 that pays. Now, we will take Dibs' answer and Lowe's answer on that in just a little bit. We'll also take yours if you want to weigh in on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795, over under 10.5 wins for Madison Bumgarner this season. But right now, we go to Scottsdale, Arizona, via the phones. He's the number 2 overall pick from the 2018 Major League Baseball draft, San Francisco Giants catcher Joey Bart, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Joey, good morning, and thank you so much for your time. It is greatly appreciated. How's Scottsdale treating you?
Good morning. Scottsdale's treating me well, except this morning I think it's rainy and cold out here, but everything's been going well so far.
Good to hear. One of the first things we wanted to jump into with you was last week, one of the first days you are in Scottsdale, you have the opportunity to catch Madison Bumgarner. I mean, I'm sure at some point you figured that was going to happen, but to happen that fast, can you take us through that process, what it was like when he came up to you and gave you the shoulder tap?
I think we were just walking into the bullpen, and I was like putting my head down, going into my bag to get my gear on. And then I just heard a voice from like over towards the mound, and it was him. And he was like, "Hey, Joey, let's go on number one." So, I was just kind of thought to myself, like, here we are, let's go. So I kind of hopped in there and got back there and had a lot of fun.
How challenging is it for you to try to balance out such great things as, you know, maybe being the catcher for Madison Bumgarner in the big leagues with also trying to go through and do what you need to do to advance through the minors? Is it hard sometimes to keep that focus and to try to improve every day?
No, not really. I know where I'm at. You know, I know, like, my role here in camp, and with everything coming up, I just kind of stay where my feet are, I'd say. I'm not really looking into the future like that. I've just got into pro ball, so you know I got a ladder to climb here. But you know, in due time, whenever, if I could ever get up there and help him out and catch, that'd be awesome.
Joey, you know what? I was blessed enough to play some 16-17 years in a National Football League, and you work like heck to get there, and it's even harder to stay there. What is your thought process? Even though you're saying you know your role, in the back of your mind, do you believe that you belong? What are you going to do to say, is it anything in the back of your mind, say, I can change the outcome, I'm going to stay here? Is that something in the back of your mind that you don't even think that far ahead?
No, I mean, I'd say I'm extremely confident in myself, and
sure.
I think coming to camp has been great. You know, I can see him. A year ago, I was in college, and you know, you look at pro ball and these and big leaguers, and you think that these guys are so much better than you and so far away, but you know, a lot of them are. You know, some of them are. You know, it's just fun getting out here and kind of seeing how you match up. So
right.
That's what's been the best about coming to camp, and you know, for the first week, seeing all the guys and kind of like the competition, what everyone looks like at different levels, what the big leaguers look like. So, you know, no, I definitely, you know, I take it day to day, like I said, but looking down the future, yeah, I mean, I hope to be a big impact on this team, and whenever that's time, you know, that'll all work out.
Giants catcher Joey Bart with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7. The game, as you're assessing your own game defensively, offensively, where would you like to improve the most?
You know, I'd like to say probably a little bit defensively. You can always get better behind the plate and, you know, in all aspects of my game. But defensively, I think it's the most important thing as a catcher is, you know, the defensive side of things. Hitting's great and everything, but, you know, if I could get as sharp as I can back there behind the plate, that's ultimately it's going to make me play longer. So that's kind of what my focus is.
Working with Buster Posey in training camp and spring training obviously helps in that facet. Is it really handling pitchers mentally and that side of it, or is it learning to physically handle the pitches at a different level?
I think it's a little bit of both. As I move on, you know, through camp, I'll get to know the guys a little bit better. But right now, it's more just kind of seeing people. We're trying to get everyone rotated in to catch everyone. So that's been great. They've been doing a good job of that. And I'm kind of getting to see a lot of people. I've almost seen everyone, I think, at this point. But just getting that familiarity with those people, that's kind of what's really important to me right now. And then the mental side will come later once you get to know the people better. But I think at first you got to worry about keeping the ball in front of you and seeing how with the kind of spin and movement each guy has on the ball.
Joey, they say you build from the middle on out, you know, catcher, pitcher, center fielder, you know, it goes all the way out, just kind of build. That's a mark of a good team. And you're in one of those pivotal positions. How do you know, what is some of the things you know that's going to keep you sharp and keep you at that level? Are you grabbing different guys that have been in the majors for a while? Are you sitting with those guys in extra meetings? Are you pulling from each individual? And who's been most that you said, wow, I can depend on that guy. I like the way that he is. He's showing me how to be a pro.
Yeah, I think pulling everything from everyone's going to be the best. Obviously, Buster's the best, probably the best in the game. So that's a good starting point to learn from him and watch him. It's not necessarily, I think it's more visual for me to kind of just watch him work back there behind the plate. But there's been other guys that have been great. Rene Rivera, he's been awesome. I think he just signed on with us like a week ago, but I think he's been the most like approachable for me to go talk to and kind of talk over things. I think you said this is his 18th spring training. So this guy's seen, you know, everyone from a 16, 17 year old, Cameron Rupp as well, Steven Vogt. I mean, all these guys are great. Hamlin Marte, who's a younger guy. Me and him are, you know, like the minor leaguers on the side, but he's really good as well coming up through the Dodgers system. And I get to watch all these guys work. And I don't think I could have been put in a better situation for this spring to with a bunch of veterans and, you know, guys that really know what they're doing.
Giants catcher Joey Bart with us here on 95.7 The Game. What's it been like speaking with and learning from Bruce Bochy, a former catcher himself with so much wisdom to share and so many successes on his resume? What have those interactions been like?
They've been awesome. Bochy, he's an awesome guy. He comes in and kind of stands in and watches pitchers and picks your brain about what they got. And also he's always in there at lunch, hanging out, talking to people. So I think that goes a long way for the guys, you know, having a manager that hangs around the guys and likes to get to know everyone. So working, you know, we haven't talked too much about baseball, but it's more about personal stuff and just like day-to-day things going on in spring training and what I can expect next.
What do you expect from this spring training season when you get to play on the big diamond in front of some really big crowds out there in Arizona? Do you set personal goals for these kind of sessions, or do you just try to go out there and just do what you can at-bat to at-bat and inning to inning?
That's exactly how I take it. Like I said, I just take it day to day. When I get out there, you know, it's a game of baseball. It's in the white lines. These guys will be better, but you know, I'm going to go out there and compete as hard as I can and try to produce for these guys as well. So that's kind of my job, you know, that's why they drafted me, I feel like, is to come out here and make an impact. So whatever I can do, you know, at whatever time, that's what I'm here for. And, you know, like I said, I'm extremely blessed to be in this position. So everything's working out great.
Joey, the advice I'd give you, man, is love everyone, trust you, but always paddle your own canoe.
This is great advice there.
You're welcome, man. I just want to tell you, man, because it's hard, you know, and I think you understand that, man, as long as you stay focused and what you got to do, don't be swayed, look left or right. Understand you belong there, man. So I appreciate the time. And one more question before I let you go. How is the family and people around you? How excited are they about you at the next level here?
They're extremely excited. My mom and dad and brothers and friends and everyone have been keeping up with everything. It's been a blessing, you know, getting some feedback from back home and talking to some of the guys back at school. They've been keeping up with kind of everything that's going on here as well. So they're all extremely excited, and they're going to be out here in a few weeks, a lot of my friends and family. So I'll be looking forward to that, but everything's going great. And like I said, I'm blessed to be here.
How much talk has there been around the clubhouse about the free agency of Bryce Harper and Manny Machado? I mean, it's the number one topic in baseball. It's been the number one topic for months. Is that something that comes up as you guys are working out, as you guys are hanging out in the clubhouse?
I think I might be the only people to bring it up. I'm pretty excited about it, you know, just from following it. But no one's really talking about it, to be honest with you. I know that I'd like to think that we're a contender for one of those guys, but there's no rumblings going on here in the clubhouse, obviously, you know, but we just have pitchers and catchers here. So maybe some volume would get turned up, but I don't know I'm not John Heyman or Rosenthal or whatever to give you the spill on all that. But I think I can sense that one of those two guys will probably be signing here pretty soon if I had to put my 2 cents in.
Good stuff. He is the number 2 overall pick from the 2018 Major League Baseball draft. San Francisco Giants catcher Joey Bart with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Joey, we know it's early, but thank you so much for jumping on the show with us today. Best of luck to you through the rest of spring training. We'll be keeping an eye on you, man. We can't wait to see you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Just realized in the last few moments that I do not want the 49ers to draft Joey Bosa. I'm not going to be able to do this job anywhere close to accurately if I've got Joey Bart and Joey Bosa in the same town. I've already screwed it up 4 or 5 times today because we talked about Mel Kiper's mock earlier. I'm going to need the Niners to pass, or I'm going to need the Giants to trade Bart. One of the two, but they can't both be here.
For you, for your sake.
Nick Bosa. Yeah, thank you, Cody. Again, say it into the microphone with it on so the audience can hear you.
I said something about Nick Bosa.
Rather than just assume that I'm having an epiphany about my own mistakes.
Yeah,
it was Nick Bosa. All right, yeah, they can still draft him then.
Yeah.
Should be fine.
Should be okay.
Just a minor glitch.
We'll work through it.
Minor.
Like when they signed Samardzija and every beat writer was like, damn it, I got to learn how to spell this last name now.
Yeah, have fun.
And you have to deal with that every day.
All Z's and J's and where do they go? You know.
All right. We kind of got into this before the interview. Buster Posey. Tee it up. What were you looking at?
Well, I was talking in the break or during the interview a little bit about Buster Posey's Hall of Fame credentials, because I, among many, have said things like, surefire Hall of Famer Buster Posey, eventual Hall of Famer Buster Posey. And when you start to peel it back a little bit and you look at his numbers and you look at how the Hall of Fame voting is done, I don't know if he's a surefire Hall of Famer.
Surefire. Surefire.
Make the case.
Yeah, it's simple. He's going to go down as arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, catcher of all time. That's just how they're going to put him. I understand his numbers may not, but I'm just telling you, he's been a golden. You look at it, where he's been all the time. He goes to the All-Star, his peers and the people. They talk about his intelligence. He's probably going to be a skipper when he gets done. I just think that even though his bats doesn't show you that he was some huge hitter, home run hitter, and his numbers are declining, I just think that without a doubt, because of this team, what he's been on, and he's won championships and he's won titles, I think that he's a Hall of Famer. I think that they're going to get him in there because of those things.
I don't know about greatest catcher of all time. There's some good ones. Johnny Bench, Yogi Berra. We don't need to get into that right now. This is going to be a very interesting case study for the voters because team accolades, three World Series. That's huge. But how much of that weight can you give him? Now, he played a huge role. That's not what I'm trying to take away from. But if you're really going to hammer home the fact that there's three World Series on his resume, you're hammering home three World Series for any of the guys who were around for that whole thing. And now suddenly, does that raise their case? You know, does that raise the profile of James White to go to the NFL Hall of Fame because the Patriots keep winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but here's the thing, and that's what I was going. You're talking about James White. Tom Brady didn't necessarily win that Super Bowl this past year. Didn't win it 2 years ago. You look at their defense, look at the scoring, go look at it. And now you talk about, everyone's saying he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Go look at his yards passing. Dan Marino, how many quarterbacks have more passing yards. All those different things about what he's done. How many more you have touchdowns. So you got to look at it like that, but he's still going to be a Hall of Famer. And they are saying arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. Why? Because he won Super Bowl.
And he's got those monster numbers, though. He's top two in all-time touchdowns and all-time yardage.
How long did it take him? And when you talk about the yardage, you look at the other guys where they did.
Yeah, but there's a lot of value on that longevity. I see the case you're making. There's probably a better example of a player that we could use than that one right there. Like, to be honest with you, Steph, for example, huge numbers and accolades across the board. He's going to the Hall of Fame. We all know that. But in the finals, if you go through all finals appearances for Steph Curry since this whole thing started, there's a significant drop off. Now, granted, you're going up against much better competition, so that's natural. But a couple of the years he played hurt. Then there were the years, you know, deferring to Durant to an extent.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a drop there. This one, what will help is that some of this took place in the steroid era, and no one's ever really thought he's one of those guys. And the whole clean-cut look. And I'm not saying I agree with that, but we know how voters handle things these days. Voters take so much into account for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame that maybe shouldn't be taken into account. He's a guy that looks the part, right? He looks the part. Yeah. He's a clubhouse leader. He's quiet. He never causes a problem, right? He's seen as the face of the organization, and that's going to go a long way. And a lot of people love arguing the three World Series, but you're right. He has the MVP award, and he's had a great catching career, but offensively, I mean, how did Pudge get in on his first try?
I believe he did, yeah. And Buster Posey, six-time All-Star, Rookie of the Year. He was an MVP. But when you look at just his career numbers, right now he's got 1,276 hits.
Okay, I'm going to compare him to Rodriguez. So this is Pudge Rodriguez. Go ahead.
So 1,276 hits for Buster, and he's played 10 years.
Pudge had 2,844.
20, and he played what, 20 years, Pudge did?
14-time All-Star.
Wow.
So
I didn't mean to put you on the spot with the years.
But I have this article up, but it doesn't, for some reason, it won't give me just that. He started in 91 and ended in the 10-11 season.
So next question.
That's basically 20 years. When you look at 2,800 hits versus 1,276, and I know Buster's not done, but he has been around now quietly for 10 years. Home runs for Buster, 133.
Pudge, 311.
311, that's almost three times as much. RBI, 635 for Buster.
1,332.
So that's twice as much.
What's Buster hitting for his career?
He's hitting 306.
All right, Pudge is at 296.
Wow, it's that high. I didn't think he'd be that high.
For that many years. To hit 296 over 20 years, that's really impressive.
Buster hit 284 last year, which was his worst season all the way going back to 2011 when he also hit 284. So I just think about the longevity of Buster's career. I don't think that he's going to play another 10 years.
No.
I think he's more in that 5, maybe 6 year window.
If he plays five years, for
his career, he's averaging 128 hits a year. So give him 600 more hits. He's not even at 2,000, Coach. And he has 133 homers. That's 13 per season. He's not going to hit 13 homers per year over the next five. But even if he does, that's 65 more homers. He's still not even to 200. So if he doesn't have 2,000 hits and he doesn't have 200 home runs, even if he ends up as about a 300 career hitter, to me, that's not a surefire Hall of Fame career.
Let it marinate for a minute. We'll talk to Sam Amick about the Steph Curry alley-oop to Giannis, the Steph Curry alley-oop to himself, and knocking the three down right in Clay's eye. All that's coming up next.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
To the phones we go. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, 95.7 The Game contributor Sam Amick with us here on 95.7 The Game. Sam, good morning and thank you for your time. We need your help settling a debate we've been having all morning. The more impressive moment in last night's All-Star game, Steph's alley-oop to Giannis or Steph's alley-oop to himself at the end of the game?
Oh, man, I'm going to go with Giannis. You know, it was the thickest game, unexpected. I mean, the alley-oop was certainly unexpected, but that's garbage time, and it's all about just one guy. I kind of like the unity and the camaraderie of those two dudes connecting. And, I mean, the timing was just ridiculous, and Giannis had to go up and get it. But, you know, everybody in the Bay sees Steph do all this certain stuff all the time, but on that stage, it was pretty sweet. I'll go with that one.
Well, I got to ask you, do you think there was a hidden message in the way the ball bounced up to Giannis? Was that Steph's way of saying, Giannis, I'd like to play with you in 2 years?
You thought that too, huh?
Well, that's how we do things in the NBA these days.
We do. As LeBron said, there's no tampering rules on All-Star weekend. You can tamper all you want, and there was plenty of that probably going on this weekend. Yeah, I mean, who knows? You know what I mean? If we are always looking far, far ahead. If Kevin Durant skips town this summer, then Giannis would be a wonderful guy to slide in a couple of years from now, for sure.
And you see KD up there giving his MVP speech, and lo and behold, who was there for every word and stayed after but Kyrie Irving? Do we go ahead and leap to that conclusion as well and say that those two are not going to join up in New York because he sat through his entire speech?
It's funny. I mean, we kind of kid, we kind of joke, but I mean, it's also like it's a real thing of this weekend is these guys, this is how the sausage gets made, where they end up talking in these kinds of settings. The Warriors fans know this as well as anybody. Andre Iguodala, you know, Steph, those guys have talked before about Team USA practices where they, you know, they kind of started putting this kind of a plan together. So the Kyrie-Kevin Durant thing is interesting, not just the MVP speech and Kyrie sticking around, but honestly, every time I watch those two guys interact, if nothing else, you got reminded that it's a very real friendship. They had kind of a chumminess that, you know, was even on a different level than it seemed like some of the other guys. So, I mean, that's part of that story, is that idea that they are close. They all, you know, they do get along very well, and they certainly, I think, possibly wind up playing together next year.
Yeah, that could happen. It's possible and both probable, but I'm going to stay right and live in the now. When you look at this team, what do you expect this second half of the season, talking about the Warriors? What would you like to see improve, and who needs to do the most improvement for this team to get where they need to get?
Well, I think that, you know, probably I'd be looking at DeMarcus, and it's not a matter of him. He's had a nice start to his stretch, you know, getting used to the Warriors and what they do and becoming part of the fabric. But, I mean, his continued progression, their continued kind of progression when it comes to using him and putting him in the best positions to succeed, figuring out how best to use his playing time. You know, foul trouble is always going to be something that he battles. You know, and then how do you maximize him at different times in the second unit? How do you make sure the defensive side of the ball is a priority as well? All of those things, I think, because that's your X factor for this, you know, 18-19 Warriors potential championship team, is that idea that, you know, this is what they had in mind last July when they added him, and it was all about the postseason. It's all about, you know, when it mattered most. So I think DeMarcus and that integration is probably the one I would go with.
Sam Amick joining us here on 95.7 The Game. We didn't get a chance to ask you this last week. Andre Iguodala made some, I don't want to say cryptic comments, but he talked post-game a few games back, I think it was after the Utah game, about how, you know, he's at the end of the line. He's just trying to have fun, enjoy the journey. I know he's got 1 year left on the deal. Is there any thought that maybe he hangs him up after this year, or is he speaking about he's down the end of the line, you know, in general of a very long and lengthy career?
If I had the handicap, I have not talked to Andre about it, so I don't want to misspeak on that. But if I was handicapping it based both on what we see right now, which is a guy who seems pretty rejuvenated in terms of on the court, and you know, you guys know the backstory and how unexpected it is where everybody thought Patrick McCaw was going to be that guy, and then Andre was heading for the exit. If, you know, if not retirement, then maybe another team that they were going to have to dump that contract. Now that contract looks, you know, just, you know, like worth every penny, and that this guy's as invaluable as ever. So I would be leaning strongly towards, you know, no earlier than the end of next year. But, you know, he's also one of those guys, a little bit like, you know, an older version of Durant, where he has already tried to set the stage for his post-playing career with off-court stuff, and Steph too, where it's like he's got plenty going on off the hardwood that I could see him pivoting even if he had game left. You know, I think some of these guys, like Dwayne Wade is a good example right now, of reminding high-level players that it's good to go out when you can still actually play the game. And I love Dirk as much as anybody, but not look like Dirk when you can't, you know, run down the floor very well. So, you know, Andre, I think, I don't know the timing. He's going to go out like that, but, you know, I'd be pretty shocked if it was this summer.
What about Sean Livingston then in the same vein? Because he appears to be physically a little bit closer to the finish line than Andre Iguodala, yet I don't know if there's a succession plan in place. If Livingston were to leave at the end of this year, what do the Warriors do for backup point guard?
It'd be tricky. I mean, you know, that's why Bob Myers and those guys get paid the big bucks. They'd have to go, you know, essentially kind of just figure out that free agency market and go second tier point guards to fill that hole. Again, I don't necessarily know if that's something that's going to happen, but, you know, and Sean in particular, I'd be curious about his mindset when it comes to retirement because of his story, because, you know, the idea that whereas Andre had, you know, some of his best years in Philadelphia playing at his peak alongside a future Hall of Famer and Allen Iverson, and things were really rolling and really good for him. We all know that Sean, you know, everything was on hold for him early on with the just awful injury he went through and the fact that the game was almost taken away from him in an extremely early part of his story. You know, does that kind of inspire and compel him to hold on a little bit longer? We shall see. But, you know, again, a guy that, you know, is not where he was a couple of years ago, but still proving valuable.
Sam, we all could agree that the Warriors are the best three-point shooting team in the game, have the best three-point shooters in the game. Not that they shoot the most threes in the game, but Steph and Klay on a very, very short list of being the greatest. And also KD. But with the lack of rebounding at times, do you see this team, if DeMarcus Cousin is not able to play and play at a high level, would they still be favorites to win a championship, or does he need to play well for this team because of all the teams, what they've been able to do with the big man position?
I mean, I'm still handicapping them. You know, I hear what you're saying for sure, but, okay, you know, the hypothetical, knock on wood, and I luckily have some wood in front of me here.
Sure.
It's but important.
DeMarcus wasn't, yeah, it's very important. Very literal, but, you know, like, let's just say that he wasn't able to join them in the playoffs for whatever reason. I mean, I'm still handicapping
really
this Warriors team. Yeah, I think so. Because he's the embarrassment of riches addition. You know, I still,
what the teams have done in the East, when you think about what they've done in Toronto, you see their big men getting Gasol, you see Embiid, what his presence has been, the matchup against the Warriors. DeMarcus Cousins, to me, plays a very, very vital part.
He does play it, yeah. No, and you're right from an X's and O's standpoint. I'm essentially, and this is an easy stance to take, I'm falling back on, like, the human aspect of, I've been in the room, like you guys, to watch this Warriors team get the championship challenge done. And I haven't done that and haven't seen that with Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Philly, teams like that, and you know, and even the powers in the West. Now, Houston would be the closest when it comes to me personally believing in what they have as a group, because I saw them come very close to beating the Warriors last year. But this is a different Houston team, so I don't necessarily see that the same way. I mean, yes, you're right. The big man position, you know, is going a lot more relevant these playoffs than last, because of the additions those squads have made, because of the DeMarcus factor. And that is going to be, I think, a fascinating wrinkle to follow. I just still think that if you're talking about, you know, Steph, Klay, Draymond, and Kevin, and whoever else, but
Sam Amick from The Athletic joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Final question before we let you go. In Vegas, they started something, I think it was this year, where they offered a prop on every single team. Will they make the playoffs? Won't they make the playoffs? And they give you odds on this. This is popular because it was like 6 or 7 years ago, they started offering it only on the Lakers. There are a lot of Laker fans who live in Las Vegas, so the one sports book that does this would always offer that for the Lakers. This year, just last week, for the first time all season, the yes is no longer favored. It's basically minus 110 both ways, yes or no. So I put it to you, will the Lakers make the playoffs this season?
Man, I don't know. I'll be honest. I'm gonna go with no, and I'm being. Two things come to mind. Have I seen far more Kings basketball than any other national writer this year? Probably, because I live up in that neck of the woods, so I have a good pulse on what they've done, and I actually have to a certain degree believing in what they are doing and their ability to knock a team like the Lakers out of the playoffs. And I've been around the Lakers a lot too, and I don't like what I see there. I'm a sucker for the human side of the game and the fact that, you know, I think Magic Johnson and to a lesser degree LeBron have both botched the human part of their locker room. Like, I get it. You wanted to go get Anthony Davis, but guess what? Now you got to roll and you got to ride for 2 months with these young, talented players who in the back of their minds, they know that they're nothing but just kind of a pawn in your chess game right now, that you are waiting to ship them out for something bigger and better. And you know, that shouldn't shock them, but it also is so out there publicly that I just don't think it helps when it comes to team chemistry. And LeBron is playing well, but he's not playing at Superman status. And I think it's a big ask to think that he's going to be able to go do this thing by himself. And the Clippers are another kind of role player in this whole thing because they are not backing off so far, even though they lose their first round pick if they make the playoffs. So we'll see how hard they fight. But I think the competitiveness level around the Lakers, I think, supersedes out of the Lakers themselves. So I say no.
Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, 95.7 The Game contributor, Sam Amick, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Always appreciate the time, Sam. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Was that just to troll me?
No, question? It's the first time all season that those odds got there, and I found it interesting because when I retweeted it last week, you can tell sometimes when something's interesting, it gets more engagement. So I figured I'd ask him because he's based in Los Angeles.
Right.
You being a part of the situation is simply you interjecting yourself into the situation. This was an A, me, and a B, Sam conversation. You can see your way out the door.
Strong.
And that's got to hurt to get your own laugh thrown strong. Back at you. And then also that one.
That's
now
it's two just, piece.
Now it's dog pile.
You did a good job putting that together. But I too see what Sam's saying, though. I honestly think the team is very volatile. I look in L.A., you see what happened. Magic and LeBron decided to make that push. And I don't think they should take all the blame, though. I think New Orleans had its hand in this, too, the way they leaked information.
Oh, well, Dell Demps was going scorched earth.
No, he pulled it out and said, I'm burning everything up. And he did that. And he put them in a bad situation. And now it's, can they sever the relationship? Can they bring the relationship back around? And I think LeBron, if he's going to make something happen, Joe, he's going to have to go to Rondo. And he's saying, Rondo, look, you know this game better than anybody. You know X's and O's better than anyone. If we're going to get into playoffs, it's going to be on you. And what do I need you to do? You got to take those guys to dinner and tell them about the nuances of basketball, what it is to be traded, what it is like for those guys to say, look, I need their buyback in.
Yeah, but why doesn't LeBron do that? If he's the because one who aggrieved them, he's already, he should be the one to try to make peace. He sent Rondo in there.
No. He's going to do that already, Joe. That was an afterthought. Of course, LeBron.
Fait accompli.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So you need a guy with some gravitas and Rondo to do it because LeBron's doing it already. You see the way that he's interacting with guys. You see the way he got him.
He made sure he was in no fewer than 10,000 pictures with Anthony Davis this weekend. How many times did LeBron and Anthony Davis hanging out together show up? They were at the club together for a function. They were in the locker room dapping each other. It just appeared everywhere.
Coming up in a year and a half, they can actually get reunited when LeBron's 36.
There you go. I mean,
what, you think it's going to happen? I told you, Lo, on this very program, that he would not be traded before the trade deadline. And here we are. After the trade deadline, and Anthony Davis, I have to make sure I get this right, he's still on the Pelicans. So in
and
fact,
he has no sources. It was just wild proclamations, much like most of this program.
Wild proclamations. But I got it right, Coach. And so for him, for you, and LeBron, for you both to try to think that you're just going to get Anthony Davis to come walking through that door because you want it to be so, that's not the way it works in the association, as we go around the association.
I just think that they messed up. And we're going to see what happens. I just what I was saying, Joe, I understand what Sam is saying. So I'm just acknowledging that, hey, look, it's an outside shot.
Let me bring another thing up.
Yes, please. Please.
Does Magic Johnson need to be involved in everything?
He's doing too much.
Did you see him running on the court yesterday?
He's doing too much.
You know what? You had your time. They've made documentaries about you, written books about
you.
You've
done a great
they
job.
They cured your AIDS.
You own
Starbucks. Before anyone else, you went ahead and got the cure. Things have gone really, really well for you. You're a good businessman, great basketball player.
Yeah.
At some point during the All-Star game, you don't need to be out there on that court. Michael Jordan, that's his team, his stadium, his town. And it was his birthday yesterday. You don't see him running around everywhere.
No.
We don't need Magic Johnson involved in everything. He doesn't need to be everywhere. What is he of the Lakers? He's a part owner. What the hell's his title? Whatever it is, just back up. You guys aren't even a playoff team right now. You're a mess. So everyone running around, laughing, getting involved in everything, clean up your mess, wipe up the milk that you spilled all over the place, and button it up. Button it up. It's a once proud franchise. You look like fools. Why was he running on the court yesterday during the game? That's not needed. That's Michael Jordan. If Michael Jordan wants to run on the court, even then it's like, first of all, why are you still wearing those baggy jeans? And then second of all, why are you running on the court? But hey, it's your birthday.
Right.
It's your team. It's your town. That all makes sense. Magic Johnson, the only thing you did recently was screw up the Anthony Davis thing. So get off the court. Even Iverson stayed on the sidelines.
No, Iverson was on the court. He's hugging Steph and really gave
him. He's 2 feet onto the court. Magic Johnson was running back forth on the court.
You just made a statement. He wasn't on the court. He was, okay? So let's be straight. You see little Iverson, little pot belly.
Score one for low. That's a good one right there. Was that what you needed to do,
Joseph?
We're going to score one for you. You're right. Iverson did take a couple steps onto the court during an intermission. You're right.
Yeah.
To dap Steph.
They hugged. He pretty much didn't want to let him go. Iverson got his arms around his neck. Just like, please, let me hold you, Steph. Steph's trying to pull away. And he's
let me hold you. Is that really what he said?
He's making everything up. What color was Iverson's shirt? It was very obvious.
He was green and black.
All right, I'll give you that. Give him that. I did not see him getting that right.
No.
I would have actually bet probably at least $500 that he would not have gotten that right.
Yeah, just like you bet on that curb that was not a friggin' 2 inches up.
Yeah, but you were also on the curb, so we were both wrong.
No.
You were.
Time out. Wait a minute.
You said you weren't on the curb. You were.
I admitted I was on the curb.
And then I admitted it too. I saw you the next morning after I went out and saw the curb. I said to you, you were right. What do you need? What do you want, a parade?
I want a cookie. Like, you have an extra one over there?
No, I ate them all right before we came back from
you
parade.
You saw that. He had a fistful of cookies.
I can't just leave one cookie waiting
cookie
there for an hour for the next time I can get back in there.
Yeah, but coming up in 5 minutes, he goes back to the kitchen and gets round two.
I rode the bike today, so now I guess that means carte blanche to eat whatever
I
want.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the only guy who rides a bike to and from work and routinely gains weight each day.
The thing that kicks Chucklehead's butt is last week we had some donuts in here, and you were like, man, you know what? Nope, I'm doing it. I'm going to sustain. Don't want to eat the donuts. We had a long, conversation.
Who brought the donuts?
About someone who ate like 12
of them
a day. On
Valentine's Day, Krispy Kreme brought donuts for all the stations.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was nice.
I thought maybe Kolsky stepped up. Because that's what, it's usually what you do.
Kolsky shows up and immediately starts talking. Like, he doesn't know rule number one, which is, it's like 4:30 in the morning. Just ease into it. We'll all say hello. We're all just trying to ease into getting organized. He comes in. Please tell me we're getting in this Joe Flacco thing today. No. Be quiet. Sit down. Stop. You can talk as much as you want. Just don't do it somewhere else. I'm just trying to focus on a few keynotes.
Right.
And then we will all get together and have plenty of conversation.
No material before 5:30 usually is our hard and fast rule.
It's just takes and takes and takes. And then it was like, we're getting into it. It's like, save it. You know me. I'm a big fan of saving it for the air.
Right.
Because it can come across as forced. I would rather us not even see each other before the show starts. I'd rather we all just come in and right at 6, we see each other for the first time, and we launch into it. I think that's a great way to start a show. Because then it's all very fresh.
Right, right.
Instead of like, we all look at each other for 2 hours, and then we start the show. I've already had enough.
Right.
And the show hasn't even started yet.
Kind of fresh like your haircut, Dibs.
Kind of fresh like your t-shirts after you come back from the gym.
That was your joke from last week. You can't repurpose that joke.
He's got a new haircut, Joe.
It's now a week old.
He got the haircut last week.
It's already growing in a patchy way. It's no longer fresh, Coach. I even lost my line that they give me at my barber. Shout out Haircrafters. Yeah, I get that Kalena line. They usually hook me up.
He got great hairline.
Yeah, he's actually got hair, so it actually stands out.
Do we have some music to play? We have special news that's breaking as we speak.
Excited about it.
If you're driving around and you know what this is.
I don't know what this is.
I didn't think for one second either of you would know what this is.
Wow. There are sounds like a personal segment to me.
Okay, yeah, this is very personal, Joseph.
This segment brought to you by Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yeah. It's actually brought to you by Joseph producer Cody Elias.
This is good news in the world of wrestling. Break it down.
D-Generation X to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2019. Yeah. What's Triple H, Shawn Michaels, love D-Generation it. X? Is all of D-Gen H going in? Road Dogg, Jesse James, Badass Billy Gunn? They're all going in? Is it X-Pac? China,
even X-Pac. X-Pac
China's
in China,
in too.
All
six.
He finally jumped on the mic, Joe.
You very exciting
got,
day.
You finally got him on. You've been asking him all day to jump on.
I'm happiest for Road Dogg. I think he deserves it the most.
What?
I'm just reading the screen. I've never heard of any of these people.
God. You've never heard of Shawn Michaels?
I've heard of Triple H. Okay. Shawn Michaels, maybe. I know China, rest in peace, was one of the original female wrestlers.
Yeah.
Oh, China.
But, yeah. Yeah, she's... Oh. Yeah. But she's going in posthumously into the Hall of Fame.
What?
Oh, China! China.
Don't do that, Joe.
This
stop.
Is me doing radio. It's over.
That's real.
Ryan Covey, Daryl the Guru Johnson. They're coming up next. Mark Medina is going to join him at 11. Bob Nightingale at 1:30. We are out of here. For Dibs and Low, I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.